Bit of a mixed bag in the province today weather-wise. We are possibly going to see showers in some parts of the province. By the way, thanks to people, anywhere from 0.2 to an inch of rain fell in the Regina area, the southeast part of the province last night. A number of people throwing in texts. I always go, there's a Facebook page, it's called the Saskatchewan Rain Gauge. I always like to go there because people are usually giving constant updates. I know someone texted me and said it's such a farmer thing to talk about, but I check the rain gauge every day. We got it in the backyard. Well, I remember through the years that I had the privilege of being Regina's chief of police that there was always calendar dates set aside where I would be on this show with John Gormley. It was like clockwork every month, and he would have the Saskatoon chief. He would have me on. Often we would listen to him talk to whoever was the assistant commissioner of the RCMP. And so when I stepped into this role, that seemed like an easy one for me to continue, given my deep interest in community safety, community wellness. And so we have been continuing the tradition that John Gormley started quite a few years ago. And so today happens to be our regular check-in with Saskatoon Police Service Chief Cam McBride, who joins me in studio. Chief McBride, thanks to have you here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Not a bad day today. A little bit of a breeze, but Saskatoon didn't get the rain. Regina got dumped on. In fact, Regina got hail a little bit last night. So the moisture would be welcome for
it
sure.
It would. A refresh.
Yeah, it would be great. That's for sure. Okay, first things first, this truck that ran into the school. What the heck happened there? I just saw the pictures of it. And of course, we had the news story on it. They failed to stop for police. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's right. You know, a very small percentage of vehicles that we intend to pull over in order to do a check on do not stop. And so everyone creates a danger to the public, and everyone is treated a little bit differently depending on what is presented to the officers at the time.
There's consequences to that. There's an extra criminal code charge, correct?
Absolutely.
So how do you investigate those? If you your officers turn the lights on, the vehicle does not stop, it's not always a pursuit, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's correct. There's actually very explicit provincial policy around that. So our own local policy is the same as the provincial policy. And if the individual operating that vehicle doesn't originally pose a significant danger to the public, like they've committed an armed robbery or they've abducted somebody, you know, we take that into consideration. And if it's simply not in the public interest that we pursue a vehicle, then we do not. And so we'll engage with that vehicle, try to pull it over, and in some cases we'll continue the pursuit for a period of time, and in some cases we don't.
You have to remember going through this as a cop, because, man, it's tough, is it not? When you try to pull a vehicle over, you turn the lights and siren on, the vehicle doesn't stop, it takes off, evades the police. You know there's a reason why. It could be there's something illicit in the vehicle. It could be they've got a warrant. It could be a variety. There's a reason why they're not stopping for police. Most normal people stop for police. It's tough as a cop to say, well, we know the plate. We'll do follow-up investigation. We're not going to chase the vehicle. So it's a discipline thing for police.
It's a discipline thing. And, you know, I was working within our forensics unit several years ago, and we had a fatal collision at the corner of 22nd Street and Avenue M. And I'll tell you, that's a reality check for everyone, for every member of the community. These things can be so dangerous so quickly. And in that case, we didn't even pursue. We simply hit the lights in an attempt to pull it over, and it took off, and that was it. And so, yeah, it's incredibly dangerous, and we're constantly weighing at every moment public interest, public safety.
But your aerial support unit, though, plays a big role in that as well. Because if your cops light up a vehicle to try and pull it over and it doesn't stop, if you've got the plane up, you're gonna be able to hold them accountable, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The airplane's been instrumental in dealing with some of those circumstances. And in 2025, we're expanding our flight operation hours by 25% to 30%.
Good for you.
And so we'll be in the air a lot more.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Cam McBride is the chief of the Saskatoon Police Service joining me in studio today. So when we look at crime trends, they will fluctuate with the time of year, and what we see in the middle of winter versus what we see on the doorstep of summer sometimes can be different. What are things looking like right now, Chief, in Saskatoon?
So right now, I actually just got the April summary. So year to date, property crime is down significantly, based on reported crimes that we've been able to track. And violent crime, we're on par with 2024. But that number is skewed a little bit by a large number of just common assaults. And so if we took the common assaults out of the mix, in terms of violent crime, we'd be well below 2024 numbers. So things are looking not too bad. This time of year, certainly as young people are out of university, young people getting out of high school, the seasonal excitement that comes around being warm and being able to be out at night and summer activities, there's more activity, more drinking, more opportunity for individuals to be out at all hours. So it increases our workload a little bit, yeah.
Sure. Do you do any seasonal moving of resources? And I'll give you an example. In Regina, we have our school resource officers that we would put on kind of a park patrol mandate, areas where we knew that we were having problems, loud parties, people drinking, that kind of stuff. So we would move them schools out. We would make that adjustment. Do you have any of those types of adjustments you make?
Yep, we have. Historically, we've done projects where we'll bring out extra staff, even up to six, on call out for Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and a redistribution of redistribution of individuals to look at some of our higher crime areas, more police presence on the weekends, that type of thing. So
you mentioned when you were talking about the crime stats, you said the number of common assaults seems to be up. Do you do, when you get a bit of an anomaly like that or a spike in an area, do you do a deeper dive analysis to try and understand why that's happening?
We do. Yeah, we do. We've got analysts that help us with that work at the Saskatoon Police Service. And sometimes there's a really, really good explanation as to why we see that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there just isn't. It's just what you said, an anomaly.
Right. I want to talk about Fairhaven. We have talked about Fairhaven a fair bit on this show. You and I have chatted about it as well. And I know when you stepped into the role of chief, you made a concerted effort to get out, meet with people in a couple of different areas, communities, wards, if you want to categorize it that way, whether it's Ward 3. I know you spent some time in Ward 2 as well. Recently, I've heard from people in the area saying it's really not better. We are still, some lady was found beaten and had to have an ambulance and police called here in the last week. What are you hearing from residents of that area? Are you still putting a concerted effort to try and address issues in Fairhaven particularly?
Absolutely. We've got extra police resources in the area, disproportionate to what we would see in summer. Some other areas within the city of Saskatoon, our alternative response officers are out there. One thing that we see is statistics for the Fairhaven neighborhood are fairly static, but we see statistics for the Confederation Suburban Center up significantly. And because those two neighborhoods are adjacent to one another, there is that overlap or that meshing of the two.
And sometimes there's a transient nature to the people. They may not live in the area, but they're either going through the area to get to another destination. Is there any sort of analysis that's been done to try and understand who are the people causing some of these challenges? What challenges do they themselves have, and why are they finding themselves in that area?
Well, we're seeing the number of homeless individuals increasing substantially within the city of Saskatoon. And I say that very carefully, because I would never want anyone to draw the analogy or draw the inference that a homeless person creates crime or is of concern for the community. That's absolutely not the case. But when we think of individuals who are just, camping or wandering, often that's individuals with nowhere to go. Right. They're seeking services and have nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And we see that across the city of Saskatoon right now, every single neighborhood. And so, we're keeping track of who's out there. It's so critical that individuals report crime, report suspicious activity, because if we don't know, if it's not reported, we don't have an ability to follow up and to see who's out there, who's doing what. Yesterday, I spent my lunch hour in Fairhaven, and it's part of my regular routine now to spend time in the Confederation Suburban Center and Fairhaven. Mm-hmm. So I understand, so I can see, so I can talk to people and have that real-time, firsthand understanding mm-hmm. of what's happening.
So what, are you stopping and chatting with people? Like, give me an example of what would your lunch hour have looked like yesterday?
Well, I ate my lunch, yeah. But beyond that, I drove around. I spent some time in front of a couple of the different parks, mm-hmm. and just getting a feeling of who's out there. There are some areas where we often will see individuals camping. So I went to those areas just to see what was happening. And yesterday, things were actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. And other times, I'll go into the neighborhood and I'll stop and somebody will come and approach me. Mm-hmm. Or I'll see, a couple of people sitting or visiting, and I'll get out and visit with them.
Right.
So it's just part of my routine to be there and to have a real-time understanding, so I can speak with, yeah. from a position of knowing.
Good on you for doing that, Chief. I think it's great that you do. That it was about a year ago, actually, maybe not quite a year, where Fairhaven School had to be closed as police investigated a murder that happened. Any update? Did we ever get an update on that?
We have not been providing very much by way of updates, predominantly because at this point there are not a whole lot of leads to follow up on. And so it's one of those things that absolutely rocked the neighborhood. Such a tragic thing. And, a year later, I think many individuals within that community are still feeling it. Mm-hmm. That sense of being unsafe is there and prevalent. And so, that is significant. When we talk about crime, we have numbers, but we also have, how do people feel? And do they feel like they can be out enjoying their property, enjoying their neighborhood? And that's so critical.
Yeah, that perception of safety is 100%. It's something that impacts people every day. And on crimes like this, there's someone that knows something. There's someone that knows something. And so sharing that little piece of information with the Saskatoon Police Service could be the catalyst in solving this and allowing a community to start to heal. So I would hope that there's still hope yet that piece of information can come forward and allow you to provide some closure in that case.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speak up, speak out, mm-hmm. say something.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Chief Cam McBride is my guest. I want to talk about Project Shield. This was a retail crime blitz. I think it was one of two that you've got planned here for the spring. We'll talk about that. What was the rationale behind why you did it? Was it successful? What does that look like? Project Shield with Chief Cam McBride when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back. We are having a conversation. It's our monthly check-in with the Saskatoon Chief of Police. Cam McBride joins me in studio. And as always, we welcome, if you have a question on text you want to send in, 1-877-332-8255. Question here, if there's any updates on, there was a South African man, permanent resident, died in police custody 2 years ago in June. Update on that or where that's at? That would have been handed over, I'm guessing, to CERT for an investigation.
Yeah, so I believe the one that they're referring to was a member of the public who died in police custody while in the community. And in that case, certainly there was an investigation. There's always an investigation. Mm-hmm. The investigation is done with provincial oversight. And then in this case, there's a coroner's inquest that's scheduled to come up here very shortly.
Right.
And so I can't really comment too much, but certainly the results of the coroner's inquest will be public.
Right.
And so all those questions that are out there should mm-hmm. be answered at that time.
It's a tough one because you want to be able to comment, but at the same time, there is a process. And having those coroner's inquests as public events, they're something that public can, number one, attend, and number two, the findings become public, is a really, I think, a good way to assure the public that there is full transparency on what transpired and what potential recommendations might be going forward.
Absolutely. And the recommendations are critical. And, we work really hard to implement the recommendations that come from the coroner's office, mm-hmm. often very, very good, you know, benefits as a result of that.
I wanted to talk about Project Shield. So this was something that you did a couple of days last week, and I think you've got a couple of more days planned. Basically a retail crime blitz. Can you talk about what is Project Shield and why did your team do this?
Well, retail crime is a big topic of conversation nationally. We see retail crime, what we would typically refer to as shoplifting, but certainly there are more organized levels or types of retail theft. And so it's an opportunity to educate the public, to work hand in hand with loss prevention officers and retail store owners and managers in order to develop a full understanding of what the scope of the issue is. And how do we look at prevention into the future? And so it's really critical that we work together, and a project like this is exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And you targeted Confederation Drive or a particular part of Confed Drive because there's been challenges there. Was that why this was a targeted area?
So I mentioned an uptick in crime stats from the Confederation Suburban mm-hmm. Center neighborhood. And so we thought it made sense to focus on that. We also see some really, really great initiatives around crime and theft prevention from some of the retailers in the area. And so it just made real good sense to focus our efforts there mm-hmm. and based on the results, expand that out into other parts of the city.
Sure. Will you share those results once you've had time to analyze and critique how it went and maybe see what the positive output could have been?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and that's part of the educational component.
Yeah,
for sure.
Good stuff. Well, we are at the end of our, as always, I've got about six questions that I didn't get to. We always run out of time, but Chief McBride, I appreciate you joining me today in studio, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Saskatoon Police Service Chief of Police Cam McBride. All right, turning and changing gears, Brooke Bullock will be joining me next, a registered dietitian, and we're going to talk healthy eating habits and some tips to help you and your family take a non-diet approach to getting healthy. We'll have that conversation with Brooke when we come back next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.